And we are back for a midweeker of SVS Fly Fishing. What's going on, Mark? We're running a skeleton crew tonight. We're just trying to test out our new broadcasting equipment.
Skeleton crew? This is more like a get-together, have a couple beers, and let's play around with the new stuff.
It's the A-team.
This is kind of neat because I haven't got to really sit and play with it and get in and put the headphones on, get in front of the mic yet, and this is fun.
Like I said, it's like taking Adam Carolla out of his studio and putting us into his studio.
Well, and I know one thing we talked about before, too, is we've traveled a lot with this podcast, and we've went to different houses. We've went to, just different rooms in different houses, and every time we move, the vibe is completely different in it. And one thing I was worried about is the way that we were set before, that we had this, you were standing up, everybody was moving around, and it kind of had that openness where you kept the feel going. I was afraid, okay, we're going to go into this room, we're going to be sitting down, it's going to lose the vibe. You get back in, you get in front of all this, it's like you get the excitement level, and it's right back again. You don't lose that at all. I thought you would, and it's not even remotely close to that.
I'll tell you what, where we were set up prior and where we're going to be set up for this Sunday, hopefully for the last time, is a bar atmosphere.
Yeah, 15 feet away from here, but it's just a completely different vibe and feel to it. But
this definitely feels like we're on a radio show.
I almost can say I like this better. It's just you're more attentive than it's just weird. I don't know. Hard to explain that.
We just had the luxury of talking to one of the best fly tires in the country for an hour through the equipment. We didn't record any of it.
Yeah.
And it was one of the best experiences I've had podcasting.
Yeah, pumping out flies and making brushes, and them hot core sure are sweet.
Oh, they're so sexy.
Oh, I know. I tell you. I look at that stuff, and it's just Tony's doing, he's doing an unbelievable job.
He is.
He's fitting into where the industry needs right now.
He's filling a niche.
He's filling a niche that I think it goes further than a lot of people see. One thing with it is, you're getting a fly that's easy to tie, quick to tie. You move my mic up or something. It got loud quick.
I move my mic up and your headphone volume down.
Can you move it down a little bit?
My mic?
Yeah, it's really loud in my ears.
Yeah. But
no, your mic was fine. It's right there.
There we go. How's that?
Yeah, it's a little bit better.
Boom.
All right. So, but he's filling that void that you get a fly that's easy to tie, has a great action. It can be tied from really 4-inch to hoy up to dang near as big as you want to go with it. You can go into the 18 to 20 inch range, but it's a quick, easy tie that's effective. It works for everything, and it's filling that void of how many species can possibly eat that fish, and people can tie really easy.
And one thing I've noticed about Tony's brushes is that he makes them in the manner that they don't need to be trimmed at the end of the day. When you're done tying that fly, you're done. You don't need to trim it. You don't need to shape it.
You've got every size from, 1.5, I think, the whole way up to 3-inch. So with that, you're set top to bottom.
Yeah. And he goes in half-inch increments. And like I said, I was telling Tony when we were talking, I tie them all the same length. The same length, same diameter of a brush. And at the end of the day, I have to trim to shape.
Yep. And I think one thing where you really benefit from having to tie it at the actual length instead of trimming is one thing you lose in a changer is your connection points. If they're crowded, you lose some action. Now yours had a really good action to them and that wasn't bad, but one thing you can is if them brushes are thick and you're tying them in that thick and that long, you can't get them trimmed down enough. So they overhang the next one behind it and there's no way for that thing to move and open up and it's blocking the action of it and you lose a lot of it.
One thing I found on that, on the big predator flies, was when you're making your shanks, you have to have a bigger eyelet in the shank.
Yep. Yep.
You had asked me yesterday what style shank maker bender I use.
That'd be me.
Yeah, you as a Mark.
Oh, I thought you said a dude.
You, I said you. Oh, me. And I pointed to you.
Okay, sorry.
But you had asked me, and the one I have now, I think it's a 3 millimeter, so it makes a 3 millimeter hole.
That's a bigger one than the other one?
The one I had started out with was 2.25.
Okay. Because Nick was asking me about it, but I'm also going to get one too because I have a Boggs. And is a great bender, but once you start getting down below 30 millimeter, the way that it's situated, you can't get that piece up over it in order to bend it. So the wire is caught on the bottom of where the bender is, and you can't get an even bend. So when you get to really small shanks, I need something for that. The bigger shanks, I can sit and just rapid fire through them, cut them to length, and just boom, 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 boom. You can go through them in seconds. But the small ones, I think I'm going to get one of them benders too.
Yeah, like I said, the benders I have are great. 3 millimeter.
Whoa. That scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, me too. I didn't like that one single bit. I'm going to let me turn my music off.
I about blew my eardrums out.
I bet it blew the listeners' eardrums out too. Look how deep that is.
So, wait, I'll make up for it.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Like, that sounds so much better in these microphones. Night and day.
But I will say, with the musky size wire, was
what were you bending with?
0.041. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is perfect with the 3 millimeter loop.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going smaller, like trout size, the
2.2.
The 2.25 is the best.
And they're only what? They're $20.
Yeah, I think they're $18, $18, $19. But if you use the 3 millimeter on a trout size fly, your loops are going to be too big and you get too much gap in between your sections.
I'm just using fly mends on them.
Yeah, I understand that. But I'm just saying for anyone that wants to try it, the 3 millimeter is too big for a trout size fly. So it's just something different, man. Something to get into, and it's just another way to build a better mousetrap.
Yeah, another element, build a whole fly. I mean, a lot of them, we buy the metal, we bend the shanks, we get the bucktail, we clean it, process it. Joel raises the birds an hour from here. Heck of a lot of these flies outside of the flash is all done within premises hour and a half.
Speaking of that, what's the weather supposed to be like on Sunday?
Rain.
We want to do some bucktails?
Could. As long as I get through this order tomorrow and a couple more done.
Okay.
I could do some bucktails.
Yeah, because...
If not, I mean, I've got... Yeah, I should be able to get through.
Okay, because I mean, we have a lot of bucktails left done, but we have a lot more that need to be done.
Oh, we got a ton more. My freezer's packed, and your freezer's completely packed. I mean, you couldn't fit a KFC burger in it.
I couldn't fit a mouse in mine.
KFC burger, yeah.
Oh, yeah. KFC used to make this sandwich. It was chicken, like grilled chicken, with fried chicken as the buns. It was the best sandwich ever. And they put gravy on top of, or like inside of it. Oh, I'll tell you, it was not a healthy option.
Sounds good, though.
But it was so good. So, one more thing we were talking about today is we're getting close to the floating season and food options.
Yeah. We've talked about a lot today. That and new vices and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, fishing. We have. Well, let's get into them all. Shit, man. We're rolling at 8 minutes. We can hit all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, food options. Right now, we're rolling chorizo breakfast burritos.
On the regular.
On the regular. I like the chorizo option, but I think we can expand that to make ourselves like gourmet streamside chefs.
And another thing is, too, I got that 7-inch skillet. So you got a cast iron skillet. We can fry up the potatoes or what have you, get bacon in there or get the chorizo in there, get nice little holes, drop some eggs in there. Why not have everything?
So every once in a while at work, we'll get Burger King Eggnormous burritos.
That's where you get a burger at, not KFC, by the way.
That is where you get a burger because he is the king. Mm-hmm. But we'll get the Eggnormous burritos. And we're like, man, these are delicious, but I wonder what the sauce is that they put inside of this Eggnormous burrito. Yeah.
That McDonald's picante sauce, too, is another one.
You know what it is? It's just queso sauce. That's all that it is that they put inside the Eggnormous burrito. So, when we make our chorizo burritos...
Will you promise not to put Brussels sprouts in them?
There will be no more Brussels sprouts, I promise.
Thank you.
Michael and I loved them.
Oh, I'm sure. And after I picked them out, they were great. But like first couple bites, I was like, what?
There's something in here.
Not a potato. That's not a tater tot.
I've had this taste in my mouth before. Yep.
I've tried. And you know, the bad part is my mom and dad eat them a lot. And I keep trying them. And I'm just, I can't. I get one bite. And I'm like, nah, I'm out. I've tried them probably 15 times in the last 2 years. Can't.
You can't put them down.
No, and I've always been one of the ones that I'll just keep trying stuff because eventually at some point, like fried eggs, hated them. Hated them up until probably 7-8 years ago, and all of a sudden something changed. Now I love them.
It's fried eggs are my jam.
Yep, the only way I want them.
But, so we need to, like you were saying, lox. That might be a good option for us.
That will be a good option.
For a stream side.
Yep. Smoked salmon pastrami.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I'm in. Anything bagel-related?
How are we going to toast or do something bagel-related? I mean, you could lay it down on a cast iron. That's an option.
I think pre-toasting and then just reheating for bagels.
That might not be bad.
So, it's going to be a work in progress. We're going to have to try different options and see what goes on.
Yeah.
We had also talked that we should talk about vices. What's your vice, Mark?
I have now switched to the HMH.
You know what my vice is? Agreed. It's alcohol.
Yeah.
And pornography. And do you want me to keep going?
Went a completely different direction on that one.
I just spelled it different.
Yeah.
I have a lot of vices.
I think mine's sitting to my left right here.
So that'd be Yingling?
Oh, Grizzly.
I see it. The dippity-doo.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we talked about the HMH.
Mm-hmm.
What are your initial thoughts on it? And what was your initial issue with it? Can we get into that?
We can get into me being an idiot. Because one thing I've always liked is, like, simplicity with things. I don't like a ton of parts and stuff that can go. And how I tie in what we do, we put a lot of pressure on vices. So there's a lot of up and down. And they can start with the more parts you have, they really start to get the rickets over time and just get loose. And
just like an old man's hips.
Absolutely. Yep. So your O-rings, washers, everything, they start to get that little slip and they're sticking. And it's just not the same. So I tried a couple different vices. I tried Regal. I have a Renzetti now. Renzetti's great. Been a really good vice. I'm just looking for something a little heavier, beefier. And I ran a Traveler, which holds to a 4. I tied 6 on it for years, and it did well. I mean, you had very little slippage on it, but little enough you can tie all day long and never have an issue with it. So, I mean, the Dynaking tied quite on just... Well, I had quite a few different people locally that had them that I can sit and spend some time on them. I don't know your vice for quite a while. But HMH was one that was just, it's got the simplistic style, well-engineered, and you knew it was just heavy duty, but had very little parts to it. So when I got it out, I'm like, oh, this is absolutely just right what I'm looking for.
What you wanted.
Locked the hook in. I'm like, ding, ding. I'm like, oh, this thing isn't moving at all.
Were you like Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah. So get the thread in and turn it over and the hook's vertical. And I'm like, huh. Well, that's interesting. All right. So I messed the hook a little bit and nothing. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. So these are... I mean, full the rotary, but they're not a true 360 rotary. Well, I've been tying on one that has for the last, I don't know, 5-6 years. All right, well, I'm thinking maybe I developed some, just the need to tie on that because that's all I've ever tied on for the last how many years. That's all I've got used to for the most part. Maybe I just developed that's how it is. So call him, talk to him. He's like,
hey, dude.
Yeah, just... Put it level.
Like, put it horizontal. Oh, parallel with your table.
So, yeah. Didn't call you telling you not how smart man he stretched the imagination. Because I feel like an absolute idiot right now. So, I go home, lay it level, sit and tie for the next how many hours. I'm like, yeah, perfect. Just what you expect. I mean, the only issue I'm having is the clamp's just not deep enough, but that's problem with my desk because of the beveled edge. I have a big, like, L-shaped wraparound desk with corkboard, and it's not working on the edge of it. I need to get something a little more deeper that I can lock in further in.
We can definitely bolt a 2x6 onto the bottom of your desk that would grab
sticks
onto.
Sticks out an extra couple
sticks
inches.
Sticks out 3 inches, and that clamp would grab onto it. Because, like you said, your clamp or the clamp on the HMH is the same depth as the clamp on my Griffin.
But yours is square.
But mine's square, and yours has a bevel on it.
Yeah.
So if we mount a 2x6 onto your desk, it'll look like shit, but it'll be functional.
Yeah, I'm not overly worried about how it looks.
I know. You just dump the bucktail on your lap as you go. And
You know what? I have a little tiny old cigar case. In the top corner, I have all my tools and off to my side. And right above it, I have a little cigar. And the only thing I throw in there is the feathers. Everything else goes right on my lap. And then,
once I stand up, I
brush it off, goes onto the concrete floor. My house is covered in bucktail and flash.
Oh, yeah, as any good fly tire's house should be.
Everywhere, every room. At one point, and it only happened once, my daughter's like, "What's on this pizza?" Wife's like, "Oh, that'd be bucktail."
That's bucktail.
Yep.
It's the latest craze in toppings.
It made its way the whole way up on top of the pizza.
It made it a whole level up in the house.
Yeah, really did. But the bucktail's definitely grown.
I'm sure your cat has something to do with that.
Oh, I'm sure he is. He's a dick.
Yes. I have two cats right now, and I can say I can leave a bucktail out anywhere, and they don't fuck with it.
No, he won't touch a bucktail at all. He might get stuck on them, but he won't actually touch one. He just, oh, look at the dang cat. I mean, you seen that thing? He's 3 years old. He's probably 25 pounds. He's like a Maine Coon, and he's not fat. He's built like a brick crap house. Get him to get mice. Sucker don't touch him. Don't care. He is as lazy, he's a good cat, he's nice, he's, you know, friendly, blah, 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 everything of that nature, but no, I want you to catch mice.
Yeah, that's why I have two of them.
Yep, no. Now he's like my little buddy and follows me around everywhere and does everything and turned into like dang near like a dog more than he is a cat.
My cats, they eat the dog food and they try to eat scraps off your plate.
They took Maui's position.
Yeah. Like I said, Maui lives in my mom's house. She's addicted to Fox News and secondhand smoke. And she's not our dog anymore. But the cats have taken her spot. And I don't know. I love them. But they don't eat mice like they should.
No. Nope.
When they were outside, the mama cat.
New age millennial.
When they were outside, the mama cat would bring moles and chipmunks in any sort of rodent that was outside to her babies in my back shed. So she would let them sit and die in my back shed. I haven't seen one dead critter since they've been in the house.
They haven't made now. They don't get to do nothing.
I know. My fucking wife feeds them.
Yeah.
Why the hell do they need to go and do their job?
Exactly. They're in good shape.
But I will say the young one, the little cat, he can take a goddamn beating.
No one giving it to him?
My son beats the crap out of that cat.
he'll be a tough one.
Oh, he will. Hopefully, like I said, he takes it out on the mice.
One could only hope.
I hope. But do we have anything else in the bucktail realm that we haven't touched on that we've touched on last week or so?
No, I mean, we're
we went over everything last week during the Tommy Lynch podcast.
I haven't messed with anything else since then. I've just been dying. So I haven't died or done anything else.
Do we want to hit on some of the guests that are coming up?
Yeah, we probably could. That's what I was thinking, too, though, about hitting on fishing. It's closer, too, but we're going to talk about it in 2 days anyway.
Exactly. So this Sunday coming up.
We have Matthew Stockton. So that'll be a good time. Talk about...
I can't wait to talk to an artist. We haven't talked to an artist yet.
Yep. And you know, one thing too with them is there's an experience or there's something that's, coming that's a muse for that painting that there'll be a lot of, good stories to talk about there.
He's drawing inspiration from some sort of fish to make him want to paint all these other fish,
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Week after that, it's going to be a fun one. We're going to have Tim Holschrock.
I can't wait.
Yeah. So he's done a couple smallmouth books, and we're going to get to talk smallies a different way because we've always been and
always will be
streamer and popper. Other than that, I mean, he does a lot of that too, and it's a lot of the same, but it's a lot different than what we do. So, I mean, you're going to get into a lot of smaller flies, crayfish, hobs, blah, blah, blah.
And after we might have an in-guest studio for that show also.
We very well may.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll get into that as we get closer, but there's a good chance we may have a fifth in here with us. And he's been a previous guest of the show. It'll be a good time. That'll be a fun talk. I hope he does. I'm excited for it if he does.
I'm definitely pumped if he comes in.
Yep. 24th, we've got 4 different options working right now, so there's going to be something in the works there.
We're going to have a guest. We just don't know who yet. Or whom.
After that, we're looking into, we're getting deep here. So we're going to be into Chris Adams. We're getting him back on from Australia.
From Ammo Flies.
Yep. So Beast Brushes and the Shanks, they've got all that going now, and they're going to get in. He's going to talk about that a little bit. Week after that, we're going to have Ellis from
River Tactical Flies. Yep. Hey, if anyone wants to get some funny-ass stickers, Ellis King is producing them.
Yep. He's got some good ones.
Fat Liners Do It Better. And then after that,
we are getting Tony back on.
Hopefully.
So, yeah, we're at this point, we're out in the mid-March with guests lined up, and we'll start talking about lining some up more up here come early March because we're good for a while.
Yep. As soon as we get these guests going and lined up, I mean, we're kind of on cruise control now until...
And that's kind of how we do a lot of this.
Until the beginning of March.
Yeah, we'll get to the point where we've got a guest or two lined up. We'll line up 4 or 5 in a row, and we'll kind of go on cruise for a little bit. I mean, just it's tough. I mean, we're all working full-time. We've all got a lot of stuff going on. I mean,
and the guests are working full-time or have a lot of stuff going on, too.
There's just not a lot of time to devote to. I mean, we all message back and forth when we can get everything lined up, but we just can't take hours and hours and hours to sit and work on it. It's just, it isn't there. So you got to do it all at once, kind of line it up, go.
And then, like you said, go on cruise control.
Yep. Yep.
So, we got a half hour show here, man. I think we should post this shit.
Yeah, we could. Anything else we want to touch on? I mean, what have you been tying? Anything? You working on anything?
I tied 3 clousers in the last week.
Oh, ain't bad.
Yeah, they were micro long clousers.
That's a good start.
Yeah, they're good flies for me. But, we're getting some feedback somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, that was probably from this USB cable touching the board.
Uh-huh.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
Is it still there?
Nope. It's good now.
All right. We're golden.
Yeah. I haven't done. Same thing.
So like
Buford.
I said.
Buford. Buford.
Are you going to bring a Buford's over on Sunday for me to photog?
If you would like. I've got quite a few ready.
I would definitely like to. Like
got
I told
someone
Tony.
Someone out in orders and getting some stuff ready for a show. So I'll be down March 3rd at Cabin Fever.
Like I told Tony, I am definitely in the business of photographing plus size models. And those models are your flies. Just got to make them look good, man.
A little bigger than normal.
No, man. I just got to make them look good.
That's not nice.
I know. So, other than that, tonight's show brought to us by Predator Fly Gear. Check them out, predatorflygear.com.
Yep. Go hit up Mo, Arx Hooks. They are the best there is. Hands down.
Hands down, bar none.
Yep.
I don't think you can catch me tying anything else.
No. Anything you need from any species, top to bottom, there's a hook range for you. Hold up to the muskies. I'm starting to tie a lot more on the TP610s. Them huge trout predators.
Those are
sticky,
crazy,
sharp,
man.
Huge hook gap. Perfect musky fly. And, I mean, anything you need, they got.
Just because they have trout in the name doesn't mean they're not musky hooks.
Yep.
Ohlsdorf Genetic. Check out Joel. He has all the feathers you need, and he's going to be at Cabin Fever on March 3rd.
Yep. Also check out Sims Fishing. Yeah, I'll be with him. So yeah, he'll be there.
Yeah, you'll be
all right. I sure hope so. If not, I'll be
you'll be
wandering around aimlessly. Also brought to you by Sims Fishing. So check them out, simsfishing.com. They got new lineup for this year. New waders look incredibly nice. And I can tell you, I've got a couple pieces with me and on me right now. They're amazing. Great company.
Yeah, I wouldn't be caught in anything else in the wintertime.
Yep.
Yeti, built for the wild.
Yep, why not fishing, too? Check them out. Go to the dock. See what everybody else got going on.
Also, there's been a couple guys that have helped us out in the R&D's portion of our new podcasting. I want to thank River Tactical Flies, Ellis King, you're the man, and Nightmare Musky Flies. Tony, thank you so much, brother. The pleasure's been ours, and we really appreciate you guys giving us your time and helping us out, even if we prank phone call you. Other than that, man.
Yeah, and that's one thing is, we can't thank enough is the guests that have came on and the receptiveness they've had to us.
Oh, our guests are the best guests in the world, and they're people I would want to drink beer with at a bar.
Yep, it's nice to have that just casual conversation where it doesn't feel very uptight and just nice, relaxed, and very open. Talk.
Hey, on that note, I think we're going to get out of here tonight, boys. Oh!